It's time for the, I'm going to call it the travel edition of Arthur Schwartz. Here we are. Hello, Arthur.
Hello, Jill.
Where to begin?
Well, we could begin in Brooklyn, where I live, which is where we picked up the Queen Mary II to get to England, the goal being explore the west side of England, where I had never been. Which we're trying. I don't call it a bucket list, but we're trying to go to places we haven't been. But there are so many, we'll never get to them all anyway. But we live only 15 minutes, literally, from the dock where the cruise ships go. It's called the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal, I think. And Bob will correct me on that and tell you it's 21 minutes because we hit traffic going there. Fortunately, we had a local cab driver who knew the back streets of Red Hook, and we got there in 21 minutes. So that was our big travel. Then we get on the ship. Now, I have to explain that we have been on this ship three times previously, including one transatlantic crossing. It's a great ship, the Queen Mary II, and it's the only ocean liner left in the world, meaning it was built not for cruising, but for crossing the Atlantic Ocean back and forth. And it's built very differently. You can read all about it online. I know, because I did. And they explain how the structure is different, da-da-da-da-da. So when people say, oh, you know, I get seasick, you barely know you are moving when you are on the Queen Mary II because it's so well balanced. And, yeah, you can feel the ship vibrate once in a while. And there was one night where I said, oh, I feel the rocking. And the woman who was walking down the hall in front of me said, that's because you're blah, blah, where I was on the ship, that was the rockiest point on the ship. So I have to say, if you ever want to do this yourself, try to book a room that is in the center of the ship. You will not feel a thing. And I think it also depends on how high or how low you are. We were very high coming. We're going to be much lower going. Anyway, we always liked the Queen Mary II because we went on Norwegian Line last year, which I thought was a disaster. But, it was a horrible ship. The ship itself was okay, but the people on it were horrible. The Cunard Line, I must say, does attract a high-class crowd, mostly Brit, some Americans. Maybe going home it'll be different. Maybe there'll be people who are visiting England and going back on the Queen Mary too. And the rooms, I think, are very comfortable. We had a balcony, so you get a good view if you want to see. Not that anything goes on out there. And the food. You know, I'm the food guy, so I'm very particular. And I have to say that the experience food-wise was much better the last time we were on the ship, which is, I think, 5 years ago?
Yeah, something like maybe. That.
Well, just pre-COVID.
Right.
So as everything has changed because of the pandemic, so has the ship. Now, they may be a little shorter on staff than they used to be, so every once in a while there's a little service glitch or somebody gets, you know, behind the desk gets a little curt with you because they're way overtaxed. I'm very, very sympathetic. But the food could be better. So there are many venues for eating on the ship. The main dining room is called the Britannia, and I don't care for it too much. The services, they don't have enough staff. And sometimes the food is not so good. But on the other hand, if you don't like something, they'll whisk it away and give you something else.
Is it better?
And it could be. Okay. I'll give you an example. We did one night go to one of the specialty restaurants. Well, yeah, there are several, actually. The one that they push the most, which is called The Veranda, and it's a steakhouse. And I probably will go back again on the way home because the steak was really, really good. I had a 28-day dry-aged sirloin steak. But the first course, now maybe you know different, the clam chowder was gross. And I was looking forward to clam chowder, assuming it was going to, I don't know why I assumed, it was going to be a New England-style clam chowder. But we got this mucky, gray, green soup. And I realized what they had done was, first of all, it wasn't clams, they were cockles, the tiny, tiny ones. And they had pureed cockles into whatever. And it was all mucky, and I didn't like it. And the waiter came by and said, would you like something else? And then I had some really, really good lobster salad. So, I don't know. That's the story. So, veranda was very nice. You pay extra to eat at the veranda. Then there's the venue that we ate at most, which was the buffet. Now, you could always find something good on the buffet. I mean, some of it won't be good, but some I pretty much know how to psych it all out. There is service in the buffet, strangely. Very attentive service. So if you want a drink, they bring it to the table. You don't have to go get it. If like me, you are a little weak on the feet, they'll carry things over to your table for you. And it has everything, cold and hot. And breakfast is really good. We order room service. Oh, by the way, you can get room service for free anytime, 24 hours a day. But they have a different menu for, you know, various parts of the day. But we ordered in room service for breakfast every day. And Bob has he's got an English streak in him. So he gets his porridge, oatmeal. And I can get smoked salmon and cream cheese. And I wouldn't say it was a passable bagel, but it's a bagel. You can get whole wheat toast. You can get a lot of things at room service. And if you go up to the King's Court, to the buffet, they do make omelets to order. I did try the scrambled eggs one day. I wouldn't do that again.
So wait one second.
If you go to the dining room, as one woman we met said, she said, I come to the Britannia, the big dining room, every day for breakfast because they make me perfect poached eggs on buttered whole wheat toast and coffee with milk, which is what I eat for breakfast. So there are a lot of different ways to eat on the ship. There's also, at night, there's a room that just does pizza and pasta. I didn't, you know, I'm going to do it on the way home. I'm going to have some pasta. The pizza, I could get a slice of pizza just to try it. It didn't look terribly appealing. Very, very, I don't know, very not Italian looking. And I had a laugh at the pastas, except that you can get some nice fresh pasta with tomato sauce. They had carbonara came with peas and mushrooms and maybe something else, making it not carbonara. So, and I being such a nitpicker,
epicure,
I didn't want to eat that. Yeah. So, in fact, I have to say, there is no English food anymore in England. After 4 days here, we really had a search if we wanted anything really English. England has turned, like the rest of the world. I started seeing this years ago when we were in Prague. The world has become a huge pizzeria. Pizza, Thai food, Italian food in general.
Curry.
I must say we walked, pardon me?
Curry there.
Well, you know, not so much. An American food. They're turning into a hamburger here. I mean, I said, you know, do you have any British food? And they said, well, we have hamburgers. So I did manage to score some really good bangers and mash. Yesterday we took a day trip to Cardiff, Wales. It's only an hour away by train. So that was an interesting experience. And Cardiff is a beautiful city, all Victorian architecture that they haven't ruined. we found a restaurant that did have, they didn't call them bangers, though. They called it lamb and beef sausage, but it came with mashed potatoes and strings of fried onions. So I counted that as bangers and mash. And Bob's been getting, you can get, of course, fish and chips everywhere. So Bob is correcting me. He's adding to, I shouldn't say it's great. We've discovered a food we didn't know about in Wales. It's called Welsh cake. Welsh cake is not cake. It's a stunted scone. I don't know how else to describe it. It's very thin, like no more, maybe a half inch at most. And it tastes just like what we call in New York a tea biscuit. Remember tea biscuits, Jill?
Absolutely. And Welsh cake, by the way, are also called bake stones. Did you ever run across
they're
that?
What is it?
Bake stone. They're thin. They're like sliced scones. They're skinny.
Well, they're not sliced scones.
Not
though.
Sliced, but they're
actually two tables down at this restaurant was a couple celebrating their anniversary, and he heard me asking the waitress about stuff. By the way, the waitress was Hungarian. I've yet to have an English waitress or waiter. So, by the way, Bath is a university town, so there are a lot of young people going to school here who work as waiters. And what we realized, first of all, the hotel we're staying in is owned by a Malaysian company. And in the dining room here, we see quite a few Asian people who are either visiting their children who are going to school here or bringing their children to Bath to go to school. Kuala Lumpur is what, Bob? I know, but I know. I know where it is, but anyway, point is, I don't know. He interrupted me, and now I don't know what the point is. Oh, the point is that the man at two tables down, it turned out to be a baker. So he explained Welsh cakes to us. They only had them on the menu as part of their tea, but the kindly and adorable Hungarian waitress brought us a few just with Welsh cakes to taste. So they tasted just like a scone, except very, very thin, with raisins, or fruit, as they say here. And that was, I wouldn't go out of my way for them, but they were good. And then I realized right away why the baker said you have to have them with tea, because they're rather dry, so you need to have a nice hot beverage to them. The one thing we had yet to find, well, it was Welsh, and we didn't find it. There is something the baker told me to look for. It was bara brith. You know bara brith? I don't know bara brith.
What's bara?
Apparently, some kind of fruitcake. They say fruitcake, I mean raisins. Anyway, I did get my bangers and mash. I have had, on the ship, on the Queen Mary 2, they have a pub. It's another place to eat, only lunch. But they have very good fish and chips, and they have a pub pie of the day. And I had a very good steak pie, basically meat and gravy, inside a very good crust. And Bob gets his fish and chips there. And we did order, because this is pub food in England now, chicken tikka masala. It is the most popular dish in all of England, we're told.
Voila.
And you know, it was not very good.
No, but there's your curry.
I'm sorry?
There's your curry / Indian. I have a question, though, about...
Yeah, there are Indians everywhere.
Right.
I mean, this is almost an Indian town, Beth.
Yes.
And I have to say, a lot of mixed-race marriages, a lot of mixed-race couples even on TV... more than in the States. And certainly here at this hotel, there are a lot of mixed-race couples. Now, I interrupted you, Jill.
No, simply that I was curious about was it steak and kidney pie? What was your pie?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
It was a beef and gravy. It was not, and the other thing that I learned, actually, on the Queen Mary, too, and I now make it at home all the time, is they call it beef and stout, which is a Guinness pie.
Right.
A Guinness stew inside a pie. When I say pie, it's a, I don't know, 4-inch diameter, maybe 2-inch high,
right,
crust.
Yeah, no, it's
and
a...
top crust, too. I like crust.
I like crust. I mean, steak pie is one of my favorite... properly done is one of
well,
my favorite things.
One day you'll come to my house. I'll make you Guinness. I make Guinness stew. And for you, I'll even put it in a pie.
Oh, okay. So, that's a deal. So, quick question.
I know how to make that crust.
I'll be right over when you get back. But my question is this: how, you know, and we're going to, of course, run out of, but that's all right. This will be a two-parter, but or three-parter. But my question is: how did the food? You weren't thrilled with the food on the Queen Mary.
I always found something decent to eat. I'll tell you something. Late at night, sometimes we did eat in the room late at night, but they make a great club sandwich on the ship. So we would order a club sandwich, and then this, I think it's called Bramley apple pie. I still haven't found out what Bramley is about. It's probably a place with vanilla ice cream delivered to your room, even at midnight.
That sounds good, and you know how Marshall always used to tell his wonderful story about going to Bermuda and how he just, you know, he just ordered, it was the QE2, and he just ordered, he ordered, that was, you know, he was doubling as a food taster, whatever, in that, and so.
You know, Bob and I did take the QE2 40 years ago, and I had been hired by Cunard to go as a food spy on the QE2.
Right.
And it was not good at all. I mean, it was really bad. What made it bad was that everything that came out of the kitchen was flambéed in the dining room. So besides that the dining room stunk of sterno, if you had a nice roast chicken to start, they would screw it up by flambéing it in the dining room. And
do you remember restaurants that would just brulee things?
That was it. Now, well, you know, it was also the style before 1970. I had to have a meeting with the food executives from Cunard when I got back to New York. And I always like to say I am the one responsible for Cunard changing from that kind of service to plated food. In other words, the chef put the plate on the food, and people just had to carry it to the table, and they didn't fuss with it or flambé it,
right,
unless it was Cherry's Jubilee, in the dining room. So the story that I always tell about that experience was, in those days, they told you that you could order anything your heart desires while you were crossing on the Queen Elizabeth II. I went on the Stilton and pork diet. So I had that for dinner every day for a couple of days. And then I went on the smoked salmon and vodka diet. And then finally, the next to the last night, we told the waiter we would like for our final meal here the most extravagant chocolate dessert that the kitchen can come up with. The next night, last night, he brings us to the chocolate dessert to the table, and Bob and I and the other couple that we were sitting with, all Americans, all looked at the dessert and said, "Sara Lee?" It was a Sara Lee chocolate Bavarian with all those rosettes on top, cream pie, that with all those rosettes on top squished down from being in the freezer. And so we called the waiter over and said, "Well, what do they call this in the kitchen?" We said, "Something like a Sara Lee." Anyway.
Yeah, I wonder how many people still know what Sara Lee is. But you know that again, just conjuring Marshall for a second, it was what they would order, you know, what he would order up for, because it was the "you can get anything you want" program. And it was pretty.
Well, why not? I ordered caviar one night. It was rancid caviar.
Right.
So I discovered, through being a little investigator here, that the chef did not, Bob is saying test. It wasn't so much test, but
no.
When the food products come on the ship, the chef or somebody he is assigned to do this checks to see that everything is the way it's supposed to be.
And that would be the Chandler. You're right.
If nobody is checking, the purveyors are going to try to get away with whatever they can get away with, which was rancid caviar.
Well, also they bring it on, and if a chef type isn't there to look at it, than the Chandler, who's responsible for getting all the goods on in so many different... I mean, you work with the Chandler, and then the different people in the different departments, you know, come and check the stuff that's supposed to come on. But they're checking that it's there, not checking that it's any good.
Yeah. Well, we're in a place where they have great seafood. Bath is very close to the sea. So we were able to get, I must say, in the hotel here, where, by the way, the hotel is called the Gainsborough Hotel, and it is literally two blocks from the Roman Baths, which is the big deal historical thing here, attraction, thank you. It's really a beautiful hotel, very good service. We even have a mini bar. It's not, there's no booze in it, but there's beer and wine and bottled water and soda. In fact, after I get off with you, I think I'm going to have my first Diet Coke. And Bob, I already said that. He's correcting me, but he didn't hear something I said. So the hotel is really nice. As I said, it's owned by Malaysians. And they do have a really, really good kitchen dining room. Well, the dining room is beautiful. But I ordered the other night mussels. And besides that, the mussels were maybe the sweetest, freshest tasting mussels I've ever had. They were bathed in butter, so what could be bad? I mean, it was a butter sauce, but it, you know, and they gave me good sourdough bread to mop it up with. And I had a really, really good, I didn't want to eat too much that night, so I had I had the mussels, and then I had a steak tartare, which was excellent. And we're not going to eat here tonight, but we're going to someplace called the Pump Room,
which is where you used to go, the
Roman Baths complex. Have you been there, Jill?
No, but when I was talking to you about the upper rooms and lower rooms, the Pump Room was where the ladies used to go to take the waters. And depending on the time of day you went, you ran in. You know, that's where you congregated, essentially. So
well,
I don't know.
It's a restaurant.
And I'm very curious. I think part two is going to be our dinner in the Pump Room.
Well, maybe. I don't have high expectations for the food there, but I have to say it's very modestly priced and to sit in this very grand space. So Bob wanted to sit in the very grand space, and he only eats fish and chips. No, I shouldn't say that, but they do have fish and chips. He'll probably have that, and I don't know what I'm going to eat, but it is moderate. I say about prices because, you know, I forget New York is so expensive. Mainly because I don't eat in Manhattan restaurants these days, so I'm not even exposed to that. But I have friends who go into Manhattan and then will call up the next morning and say, do you believe we just paid $45 a person for the main course? So it's about that here. In a fancy place like the Gainsborough, this hotel, the entrees are 30, maybe, 25 to 30 pounds, and 30 pounds is $40. It's the pound, if you want to round it out, it's 30% more. A dollar is a dollar, a pound is $1.30, more or less. So things are very expensive. Although you can find, we had lunch, there's this nice little bridge that goes over the Avon River. Some lady we met in another cafe said, oh, you should try to go there because it's got a great view of the river and food's good. Well, it ends up it's a bakery. And we did a table with a beautiful view of the river and had a really good chicken sandwich with mayonnaise, lettuce, and tomato. Not a club sandwich. But, you know, here we go, globalization. It didn't come with potato chips. It came with corn chips.
Oh.
As if it was something Southwestern or Mexican. Anyway, they did have something that I used to eat and haven't in years. And I know I have a recipe either in cooking in a small kitchen or maybe in what to cook when you think there's nothing in the house to eat. And it's called flapjacks. It's basically oatmeal and honey mixed together and baked. And it's crisp. It's sweet. And I figured it can't be too bad because it's got some opium. It is opium. So that, we had that and chicken sandwiches, and that wasn't. And I had a cappuccino. I didn't pay for it that time. Bob did, but I think it wasn't very much. Two sandwiches, a flapjack, a cappuccino, and a Coke, I think, came to about $40.
Well, the question is whether, and we're going to have to go, but whether you're going for tea, afternoon tea, or the summer evening menu as you overlook the Avon. And that will either set
you... We had tea in the swankest place in Bath, which is...
Tonight, in the Pump Room.
The Royal Crescent Hotel.
Right.
Now, the Royal Crescent is this half moon of 18th century townhouses, and there is a museum in one of them to show you how people lived in them, which we did, and it was very interesting. I even got to go to the kitchen downstairs, which was also interesting. But they have, at the hotel, which is in the middle of the Royal Crescent, they have a very expensive afternoon tea. Everybody, it is not high tea. If you ask for high tea around here, they'll say, go home and eat scrambled eggs. Because high tea is a late-in-the-day meal. Take usually workmen when they come home. It's like supper. But afternoon tea or cream tea is what you have in the afternoon. So this is tradition. It's in a garden, which is beautiful. And the whole traditional thing. And truthfully, you look at it and you say, well, is this going to be enough for lunch or dinner or tea, whatever? And it's too much.
Right.
So there are fingers, the usual finger sandwiches. In this case, they had smoked salmon and some other high-end ingredients. And then there's a level that is the scones. And in this case, Bath buns. Now, we did not go to Sally Lund, which is the big hoo-ha bakery in Bath, because many people said, don't do it. It's a tourist trap. And the Sally Lunn is nothing but a brioche roll. So instead, we went to this nice tea at the Crescent Hotel, and they had Bath buns, which are a really delicious, covered with crystal sugar, more cakey than bready. I wouldn't say they were like brioche. They're not. And that comes with scones. And then after that, and of course, clotted cream and strawberry jam. And after that, on the top tier are your pastries. By the time we got there, we couldn't eat another bite. So we took a bite or two, pastry or two. And the rest they packaged for us to take home in the most adorable box. I may take the box home. We haven't finished them yet.
All right, you're out of time, Arthur.
I know, I see we're out of time.
But that's so okay, you're still going.
I'm not. Next week I'm going to be on the ship. So
okay.
I won't be able, you can't, it's really, really difficult to get a phone connection on the ship. Plus, it costs a fortune. So I probably won't talk to you again until I get home on Monday the 11th.
Well, next week is next week is Labor Day. You're having your bank holiday today. So when do you get on the ship? I thought you got on the ship the 5th.
We get on the ship on the 4th.
Okay.
And we're home in Brooklyn by the 11th.
All right.
And as I said, it's only 15 minutes from my home, from the ship. So we will be home way by 9 o'clock the latest, if that late.
Okay.
So I can talk to you all again on September 11th, 9/11.
How are you going to be home at 9/11? I thought you said 9 o'clock. Is that 9 a.m.? No.
No. 9, September 11th.
Right. So that's
we're home September 11th, and the ship. We have to be off the ship by 8 o'clock, and since I only live 15 minutes away, I'll be home by 8:30 for sure.
So we're talking a.m. Yes.
Yes, a.m.
Okay, perfect. So we will talk September 11th. A reason
September
to look
11th.
Another reason to look forward to it.
Okay.
All right. Travel well.
All right.
Lots
Take
of love,
care, everyone.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.